Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is podcast 836, and we have a fabulous guest for you later on, Dr. Joseph Pizzarno, the toxin solution, how hidden poisons in the air, water, food, and products we use are destroying our health, and what you and we can do to fix it. Dr. Pizzarno is the founder of Bastyr University and co-author of the best-selling The Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine. I'm looking forward to talking to him, and we're going to hold him to make sure he gives us all the real data, not just platitudes about what to do, but what you can specifically do, what he specifically does to have, quote, a toxin-free life, and what he really thinks, what percent of diseases he thinks are caused by toxins versus other things and versus your other lifestyle choices, and whether the other lifestyle choices just are ways of getting rid of these toxins. In any case, we also have a tremendous number of wonderful stories in the news. And with Sonar's blessing, Sonar's the great engineer we have, we're going to get through as many of those. April was Stress Awareness Month, and the finance website Wallet Hub did a great job in looking at the most and least stressed states. Most stressed states: Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, West Virginia, and Kentucky, 1 through 5, all southern states. Georgia comes in at number 8, Tennessee at number 9, Arkansas at number 10. So, if you will, 8 of the top 10 states in stress are from the South. And no wonder, they've got a lot of diseases, but we also will find out other things about why they call them most stressed, least stressed. Minnesota, North Dakota, Iowa, South Dakota, Utah, Nebraska, New Hampshire, Vermont. Those all are relatively small states and in cold areas. Minnesota, North Dakota, Iowa, South Dakota, Utah is a small state but in a warmer area. Nebraska, big state but not many people in it. New Hampshire, Vermont, wonder if that's one of the kickers. Colorado and Wisconsin, all of those are relatively small states. New Hampshire and South Dakota, lowest unemployment rates, 2.8%, 2.4 times lower than New Mexico, which is the highest at 6.7%. New Hampshire has the lowest share of population living below the poverty line, 2.5 times lower than Mississippi's, which is at 22.5%. Utah, the lowest divorce rate, 16.2%, 1.8 times lower than the District of Columbia. By the way, the District of Columbia has the most psychologists per 100,000 residents. You can say they need it since our government is there, but they have 89.6 per 100,000. That's 7 times more than Louisiana, which has the fewest at 12.97. Maybe Louisiana needs some of the District of Columbia's. And New Hampshire has the lowest share of adults in fair or poor health, 11.2%, 2.1 times lower than West Virginia's, which has the highest rate share of adults in fair or poor health, 24%. What about one of the reasons they get in poor health? Well, let's go to the top news stories of this week. Prolonged antibiotic usage tied to precancerous colon growth. That's right. Women who took antibiotics for 2 weeks or more in this study of more than 16,000 women who were 60 years and older, but women who took them in their 20s through their 50s were much more likely to have precancerous colon growth. How much more likely? Well, if they took them for 2 months in their 20s or 30s, it increased the odds by 36%. If they increased them, if they had them in their 40s or 50s, it doubled their risk of having a colon cancer. Why? Probably because the antibiotics, if you take them for that long, wipe out your good bacteria in your gut. So remember, if you're taking an antibiotic, you want to take that as far from that as possible, probiotics at the same time, and continue the probiotics right after you finish the antibiotics. Cancer deaths for men and women. This is a good news story. Cancer deaths for men and women of all races are on decline in the United States. Men saw a lower death rate for 11 of the 16 most common cancers, while 13 of the most common cancers in women, such as lung, colorectal, and breast, that's colon and rectal and breast, had fewer deaths than they did any time since anytime we have the percent of people. And while the death rates are also important, survival of these people is increasing. That's important. You know what you can do to prevent death, don't you? That is, you do the six big things. Decrease all-cause mortality by 80% after having a breast cancer, decrease recurrence rates of breast, prostate, and colon cancer, where they've been studied, by 80 to 90%. Avoid toxins like tobacco. Tobacco is the biggest one. But we'll find out from Dr. Joseph Pizzarno in about 15 minutes what the others are. He's going to talk to us. He wrote the book, The 8-Week Program to Detoxify Your Life, The Toxin Solution. I lost my what I was talking about. Oh, so the six things, thank you for getting me on the right track, Bridget, are tobacco or toxins. Do the four components of physical activity. 3, avoid the snake oil foods, saturated fat, foods with saturated fat, simple sugars, simple carbohydrates, and added syrups. Number 3 is, we talked about doing physical activity, I'm sorry, so number 4 is don't forget about sleep, that is, get the right amount of sleep for yourself. Number 5 is do a stress management program and practice stress management daily, whether it's meditation or other things that you use for stress management. And number 6 is the make sure your immunizations are up to date. If you do all of those 6 things, you reduce your risk of chronic disease by 80 to 90% getting one, and you increase your rate of survival of all of the cancers that have studied, colorectal, breast, prostate, by 80 to 90%. It's more than the genetics of the tumor, which is important in getting the treatment right, as we know now, but it is also you're doing lifestyle habits. We'll talk to Dr. Joseph Pizzarno on whether he thinks those are related to just getting rid of toxins and preventing yourself from getting toxins, or whether toxins contribute to more than 20%. Low-dose aspirin can reduce the risk of death from a number of cancers is another story. This was the study data from a group of 86,000 women, 43,000 men in the health professional study, that if you took low-dose aspirin with some regularity, this isn't absolutely perfect, the risk of dying from cancer was 7% lower for women, 15% lower for men, and all-cause mortality was 7% lower for women and 11% lower for men. So this confirms what we've said in The Real Age, what we've said in You, the Owner's Manual, what we've said in Age Proof. Almost every man or woman over the age, men over the age of 35, women over the age of 45, should in fact be on 2 baby aspirin a day, 1 in the morning, 1 in the evening. It decreases inflammation, and that's the common pathway from a lot of virus-related diseases, from a lot of toxin-related diseases, from a lot of eating too much food-relating diseases, is this common factor of inflammation, which the 1 aspirin and 1 baby aspirin in the morning, 1 in the evening. Now, you want to have a conversation with your doc, and you want to take each aspirin with a half a glass of warm water before and after, as that warm water decreases the complication rates of gastrointestinal, that is GI or gut bleeding. Why do you bleed from your gut? Because the aspirin lands on your stomach lining and erodes it. And the aspirin also has the effect of decreasing platelet adhesiveness. And those two things together mean you're going to bleed more. You don't want to be taking routine aspirin if you do what we call extreme sports routinely. You ski without a helmet on, or you ride a motorcycle or something like that, because there is an increased risk of bleeding after accidents. Another good news story this week. Kentucky, one of the strongest states for having tobacco, now has a support of 7 of 10 people in that state would like to ban smoking in public places. That's great news, because tobacco smoke, even secondhand smoke, is a real risk factor for a lot of diseases that are associated with inflammation, including cancer, heart disease, stroke, memory loss, impotence, whole bunches of them. Everything that aspirin helps prevent, tobacco helps cause. So really, you should be avoiding tobacco. And the good news is 7 out of 10 people, even in Kentucky, the state with the most smokers in it, the state that produces, I think, more tobacco than any other but Connecticut, is 7 out of 10 people want it banned in public places. 7 reasons we're more at risk for a global pandemic than ever. Well, you know, one of them is, if you will, growing population urbanization. That is, you live, eat, work, and move closer to people than you did when you lived in the rural populations. So as we move towards cities, and 66% of us now live in cities, not just in the United States, but in the entire world, there's a much more chance of coming into contact with someone and getting an infectious disease. Encroaching in new environments, as the number of people grow, so does our land use, which means we get new diseases from organisms we didn't even know existed and didn't exist. Global travel is another one. We're vulnerable because we travel so much and come in contact with people. And it appears that the change in climate, that is the flooding with increased frequency, the warmth that occurs, etc., increases mosquito breeding, and this increases our chance of getting a, if you will, global pandemic. And the last is civil conflict. That is, if you have fighting going on in the African nations, or you have civil unrest, it's more likely that you'll have people in contact with other people. Fewer doctors and nurses in the outbreak regions when these break out in rural areas is the sixth cause. And the seventh is we have faster information, and that faster information, you'd think it would help prevent it, but it apparently helps spread these global epidemics. The next story, and one of the last ones this week, is a little extra fat is not a survival advantage. That's right. In the olden studies, that if you had a little overweight, that is, you weren't obese, but you had a body mass index that was between 25 and 29, you had a survival advantage. Well, newer studies have now been done and show that isn't true. There's not much risk to being a little overweight compared to people who are normal weight, as long, because remember, in real age and everything else, we factor out all those other things associated with being overweight, such as high blood pressure, such as an increased risk of type 2 diabetes, such as a high LDL cholesterol, etc. Well, if you factor all those other things out and look at just weight per se, that is, not that it causes you to not do things physically, etc., then weight per se is a very small, especially if your body mass index is between 25 and 29. That would mean that a 5 foot 9-inch person has a weight between 169 and 203. You can go to Google and get BMI calculator, put your real height in. Don't fool. Most people put in 1 or 2 inches taller than they are. Put your real weight in. Most people put in 2 or 3 pounds less than they are. So get the real BMI. And if your BMI is above 25, but below 30, you're a little overweight. Over 30 is obese, and that's when the risk of chronic disease really increases from just obesity per se. And you can do it by a tape test. What's the tape test? Well, we have it in our book, Age Proof, Living Longer Without Running Out of Money or Breaking a Hip. What it is you put a tape measure, you know, one of the tape measures that you might use for sewing or anything else you put, or even for carpentry, you put a tape measure at your belly button, put it around your waist, suck in, so it's parallel to the floor, and you suck in, and your waist should be less than half your height. If your waist is greater than 37 in a woman, greater than 40 in a man, you're going to be aging greatly from belly fat. So that's the hazard of being overweight. Let me end with one wonderful story. Do your own stem cells offer hope for kids with autism? And this is a nature versus nurture. So Duke University has a cell bank, an umbilical cord bank, and they gave these kids with autism, where they had stem cells left, the stem cells. This would say, these are your normal stem cells. These are the cells you were born with. They came from your umbilical cord and you didn't get them. But it is a umbilical cord blood transfusion, getting your own cells. So you're not going to resist them because they will stimulate immunity. But they gave this to, I think it was, and I'll give you 25 people who had autism, 25 kids. And amazingly, if you will, and we don't know because it wasn't double-blinded, something over 60% of the kids had a dramatic response. That is, they had a response where they changed a great deal in their behavior patterns and their learning patterns. We don't know. This is the first study of it. We have no idea whether this works in a double-blind fashion. So they're going to be doing this in a double-blind fashion to 165 autistic children now at Duke. The person to contact, if you're interested, is a Dr. Kurtzberg, K-U-R-T-Z-B-E-R-G. If you have cord blood stored, this may be a way of doing it. The skeptics say, there are too many unanswered questions to get excited yet. But let me tell you, if you have a child with autism and have saved their cord blood. Now, that comes to another statement. It is wise to save cord blood on every one of your kids. If you have that option, pay the extra money if you can afford it in any way, because there are lots of uses currently of that cord blood. In the meantime, this is Dr. Mike Roizen, you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You're listening to podcast 836A. The B-side will be there in a few seconds with Dr. Joseph Pizzorno, The Toxin Solution, how hidden poisons in your air, water, food, and products we use are destroying our health and what we can do to fix it. I'd like to say it's what you can do to fix it for yourself and what we can do as a group to fix it for the country. It's an 8-week program to detoxify your life. We'll be back in just a few seconds. It's 836B. Remember, last week on 835B, Isabella Wentz, Hashimoto's Protocol, the 90-day plan for reversing thyroid symptoms and getting your life back. We'll be right back.